It was an unusually hot weekend in mid-June, and sweat pooled along Luke Hadley's spine as he lay on his stomach on a blanket in the front garden. He was staring blankly at a spread of textbooks. The screaming was distracting and had been going on for a while now. If it had been Abigail trying to revise, Daisy and her pals would never have been allowed to make such a racket. But Mum had inexplicably gone into overdrive for Daisy's birthday, which had turned into the party of the century. Luke's little sis and her friends were careering round behind the house, shrieking at the tops of their voices, while some unforgivably awful C-pop boy band blared through the living room window. Luke stuffed his earbuds in as deep as they'd go without rupturing anything, and turned up the volume on his own music. It didn't work. The catchy beat of Happy Panda was backed by the delirious vocals of 10-year-old girls massacring the Chinese language. Moaning, he let his face fall forwards onto the book spread out on the grass in front of him. He knew who he'd be blaming when he failed history and citizenship. Beside him, her own exams long since completed, Abby was lost in one of her favourite trashy novels. Luke gave it the side eye and cringed at the title. Her Master's Slave. She was nearly finished and had another pastel-covered horror lined up. The Heir's Temptation. How someone as smart as his big sister could read such rubbish was beyond him. Still, at least it kept her distracted. Uncharacteristically, Abby hadn't nagged him once about revision, even though this term's tests were the most important, until he finished school in 2 years' time. He turned back to the mock exam paper. The words swam before his eyes. Describe the equal revolution of 1642 and explain how it led to the Slave Days Compact. Analyze the role of 1. Charles I, the last king. 2. Lycus Parva, the regicide, and 3. Cadmus Parva Jardine, the pure in heart. Luke grunted in disgust and rolled onto his back. Those stupid equal names seemed designed to confuse. And who really cared why the slave days had begun hundreds of years ago? All that mattered was that they'd never ended. Everyone in Britain, except the equals, the skilled aristocrats, still had to give up a decade of their life. Those years were spent confined to one of the grim slave towns that shadowed every major city, with no pay and no respite. Movement caught his eye and he sat up, scenting distraction. A stranger had walked up the driveway and was peering through the windows of Dad's car. This wasn't unusual. Luke jumped up and went over. "Brilliant, isn't it?" he told the guy. "It's an Austin Healey, more than 50 years old. My dad restored it. He's a mechanic. But I helped. It took us more than a year. I could probably do most of it myself now. He's taught me so much."
"Is that right? Well, I reckon you'll be sorry to see it go then."
"See it go?" Luke was nonplussed. "It's not going anywhere."
"Eh? But this is the address in the advert.
Can I help?" Abby had appeared at Luke's shoulder. She nudged him gently. "You get back to your revision, little bro. I'll handle this." Luke was about to tell her not to bother, that the man had made a mistake, when a stampede of small girls hurtled around the house and thundered towards them.
"Daisy!" Abby yelled repressively. "You're not to play around the front. I don't want anyone tearing into the road and getting run over."
Daisy trotted over to join them. She wore a large orange badge with a sparkly 10 on it and a sash across her chest bearing the words, "Birthday Girl."
"Honestly," Daisy folded her arms. "It was only for a minute, Abby."
The man who'd come about the car was looking at Daisy intently. He'd better not be some kind of pervert.
"Birthday girl, is it?" he said, reading the sash. "You're 10, I see."
His face went funny for a moment, with some expression Luke couldn't work out. Then he looked at the three of them standing there. It wasn't a threatening look, but it made Luke put his arm round his little sis and draw her closer.
"Tell you what," the man said. "I'll give your dad a call some other time. You enjoy your party, young lady. Have your fun while you can."
He nodded at Daisy, then turned and ambled off down the driveway.
"Weird," said Daisy expansively.
Then she gave a whoop and led her pals in a prancing, cheering conga back round the rear of the house. Weird was the word, Luke thought.
In fact, the entire day had felt not quite right.
But it wasn't until he lay awake in bed that night that it all came together. Selling the car, the fuss over Daisy's birthday, the suspicious absence of nagging over his own exam revision. When he heard hushed conversation floating up from the kitchen and padded downstairs to find his parents and Abby sat at the table studying paperwork, Luke knew he was right. "When were you planning on telling me and Daisy?" he said from the doorway, deriving a grim satisfaction from their confusion. "At least you let the poor kid blow out the candles on her cake before your big reveal. Happy birthday, darling. Mummy and Daddy have a surprise. They're abandoning you to do their slave days." The three of them looked back at him in silence. On the tabletop, Dad's hand reached for Mum's. Parental solidarity. Never a good sign.